here's your Reuben sandwich. Now get to nibbling. Served up by those two St. Louis siblings, Lauren and Jake's pop culture hot takes are hotter than the tropics. All the nerdiest topics, they're giving you nothing but the trusted truth. When Lauren says, hey brother, like Buster Bluth, analyzing comics, film, animation, colossal castles, galactic federations, and you know Spider-Man will be swinging through with these exciting insights that they bring to you. And just when you think you're bored of these things, they delve in deep to the Lord of the Rings. So let's get you clued in so you'll be glued in and get you a bite of this delicious Reuben. Yes, let's get you glued in so you'll be glued in and get you a bite of this fresh Reuben.
Hello and welcome, M of One listeners, to a brand new podcast segment, The Reuben Sandwich. I am your host, Lauren Reuben, and I need to introduce you to a very important person, the second host of this podcast, my brother, Jake Reuben.
Hey!
Jake is super awesome. We grew up together, obviously, and he's pretty much my best friend. We literally spend hours and hours talking on the phone about pop culture already, so we thought, why not start recording it? Jake is going to tell you a little more about the details himself.
Yeah, so for anybody who's listening to this, I was lucky enough to come on your guys' M of One podcast once before. I'm an actor and a filmmaker in New York. And combined with my sister, we thought this would be a fun podcast to do because she's, as you guys know, a graphic designer and illustrator. And between the two of us, we know quite a few artists in a lot of different fields. And it wouldn't be a sandwich if we didn't have something in the middle. So each week we're going to try, or bi-weekly, or each episode. Yes.
At a minimum amount of time.
Each episode, we're going to bring somebody in to break up the sibling bonding going on here and create a full and tasty sandwich for you guys, hopefully.
Yes. And we're really excited for our first episode because we are going to talk about one of our favorite things, Halloween costumes. And we have Gigi Hernandez, a professional costume designer, here to talk with us, who's a friend of Jake's and we have both worked with before. So it's going to be super fun. And I hope you all enjoy.
All right, we are here with our first guest. This is somebody that I went to school with, who I've known for 11 years, good friend of mine, theater and film costume designer, the wonderful and talented Gigi Hernandez.
That's so nice. Yay. Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, Jake. Hi, Lauren. How's it going, y'all?
Welcome.
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, I love seeing your faces, even though we can't do it in person, and I haven't seen another person that I don't live with for 8 months.
The state of the world. To like,
yeah. At least now we have a chance to talk with some people that we don't live with.
True
that. But yeah, today we are going to talk all about Halloween costumes and just costumes in general and why we love them so much and how much fun they can be. Obviously, Gigi is an absolute pro and we are just costume lovers, but that's what makes this fun.
Yeah.
So Gigi, we'll ask you some questions. What are some of your favorite costumes that you have made professionally?
Professionally, I definitely have a long list. I can probably start with some of my favorites, though. I worked on this film right out of college with my good friend River Gallo, who is an actor, writer, director, performer, intersex activist, amazing human being. I worked with them a bunch out of college, but the first film that they ever wrote and directed was a film called Candide, and it was like loosely inspired off of a short play that they did in college. And they themselves, who is like, they're like a tall, non-binary, like beautiful El Salvadorian person. And they played this 12-year-old little girl who's, and like very distinctly like blonde, sweet American little girl who, whose best friend had been murdered. And there's like over the course of the film, it's revealed that in like a very creepy, perverted way, Candide's uncle is the one who murdered her best friend. And it was like sort of my first intro into like horror.
Spoiler
and like
warning.
Spooky. And I, yeah, truly. it's probably like a 9-minute film available on Vimeo only, but it was really a good time. And my favorite thing was that like already I was just defying expectations, just dressing River the way I was in these like little Daisy Dukes and gold spray painted cowboy boots, because Candy, the character, is like a runaway. And at some point she like lives on the highway or something. And there was like a couple scenes where she was wearing like an American flag as a cape. And we had her in like a fur coat and she was like walking around with like just a pile of balloons. Cause if you're 12 and you run away from home and you manage to like score some cash by like, I don't know, you know, doing some sex acts on the side of the highway, the first thing you're going to go by yourself is like a bunch of balloons, right? Like I think that kind of makes sense, but no, it's really fun. And in that film, there was a costume that I loved making. I took this like vintage, like Florence Nightingale nurse's costume. It was really like sanitized, almost had this like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest nurse ratchet, like gray with like a Peter Pan collar. And I turned it into this like mini go-go dress. And the person who was going to wear it was the dental assistant, and the actor, who was this wonderful drag queen named Leo Gugu, she was just also rocking it. She was wearing this giant bouffant wig and ripped white fishnets, and she was like so like wonderful and creepy and demented as like a nurse, a dental assistant, like in the room. And like her husband was like the dentist, and he was sort of also like equally like creepy and intense. And the, you know, the just the whole setting of like the dentist's office was such a wonderful place to put like these total juxtapositions of costumes. And also,
yeah,
like,
okay, it's so sterile normally.
Right. That was like so just like a fun way to start working out of college as a professional. But like, you know, it was a big summer for us right out of school. But Foolish Chance was some of the best work I've done, like by hand from scratch, like overnight. for people who don't know, although I'm sure most of y'all listeners do.
This is our first episode, so they might not know me.
Well,
so
Jake, yeah.
Jake, introduce yourself. Tell them about Fantastic.
Well, yeah. So we worked on a series that I wrote and directed that. I don't really know what we were trying to do. We call it a web series because it lived online, but we wrote 20-minute episodes, and we filmed it like we were on ABC. Or like we were pretending that was the format, I guess. But yeah, it's a kind of a genre-bending series that went into a lot of weird places. And for me, it was kind of like my film school because we studied acting together, so that was my way to kind of play in a lot of different genres. And I don't know. We had Superman costumes. We had Zelda parodies. We had Kung Fu fights. We had a giant 20s theme party that we had to costume.
And the Gatsby, the whole Gatsby event was like a Gatsby themed engagement party. And it was like in a hall. And our main characters, I mean, we took full advantage of our theater school's costume loft. Like we were
fresh enough out of school. We could still get access to all of NYU's supplies, recording studios.
Right, exactly. Some of that stuff I took and like never looked back. And I just hope no one from Atlantic is like listening, because if they're like looking for a certain, they'll never know what I have, for example.
Well, something that I think might be fun to focus in on, gents, was Lauren designed a lot of those costumes on paper for some of the like fake superhero things or character logos, and then you would turn those into costumes. So I guess what the question is, like, when you're designing for stuff, where do you start when you're building out character designs?
That was, I mean, luckily enough, Lauren's designs and comics that she had written for gents, or that she had drawn for gents, were like pretty, to me, it was easy enough to directly represent them. You know, like I didn't feel the need to like go too far away from that source material.
They're pretty detailed.
I'm really into collaborating with the director. I think that the whole thing of them being the director is that they have the vision in their mind. And I certainly, I'm a person of the people. I think that costume designers should be of the people. I think that they're a really fun medium between the folks with the vision and the folks who have to execute the vision also, because like I work with actors in a way that like I don't really see directors working with either. So I look at them as well and I say like, okay, you know, I see what the director wants. I see that they want this sort of like lithe, like little girl, like, okay, in the case of Candide, they want this sort of like little girl attitude, but I'm also looking right at River Gallo. That was a funny instance too, where it was like the director, the writer, and the actor were all the same person. So they in particular wanted certain things, but they also like let me say like, hey, you're a tall El Salvadorian person with very broad shoulders. Like it's going to look really fun and funny. Let's lean in. Like, let's get you a little brown bob wig. Let's put clips in your hair. Let's like get you like little pink overalls. Like, let us just lean all the way in. And they let me run with a lot of those choices. Some of those choices were outright theirs. Like they were like, she's going to be wearing gold cowboy boots, you know, walking down the New Jersey Turnpike. And that's just what that image is vividly in their mind. And so I was like, okay, easy. I'm going to follow that to a T. Jake as well, like, you know, had his ideas of like who these people were. And like, you know, you knew what, like,
I was big on pulling from comic book influences. So it was a lot about trying to like make characters kind of monochromatic. So it was like, you know, this character's red, this character's green. It has kind of a, you know, a How I Met Your Mother vibe. Each character's kind of an archetype. So it was meant to kind of lean into that.
I love that you say How I Met Your Mother, because I was going to say something.
That's what I was watching at the time.
That's perfect. Yeah. I was going to say something about like Marvel superhero team building. You know, like when you have when you have an origin movie and you have, or like a team building movie, you really want to distinctify each person, like make them their own individual. Mm-hmm. And that was a wonderful start, just being like, okay, this person's primary color, this character's primary color is red. And the red is like symbolic of like how passionate they are and how love focused they are. And they just follow their heart and they don't really like worry about the consequences or worry about who's getting trampled in the process. And then the other characters who were like, you know, blue, like really like that character is a comic artist himself. And he is like, you know, he's in this very settled relationship and he's very internal and he's very like inward looking. And so that blue color feels really soulful and makes sense with him. And like with the character who is green is who's sort of our lead and he's sort of our, you know, the straight man of the group a little bit. He was like, you know, to me that his biggest flaw was that he was immature. So the green made sense to me in that way, that green as a color represents someone who's kind of new.
Yeah. Like you're, totally.
Right.
Greeny.
But that wouldn't have, those, as much as I am like telling you about how those costumes were executed, those ideas were a lot of yours. You know, you came with a lot of everything, Jake. But it was really collaborative, I would say.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, you've been an actress before. So I think there's some knowledge of like, well, this is something that I need to be comfortable wearing and needs to like, you know, fit right and feel right. And
yeah. That thing of like, I'm not wearing my normal shoes in rehearsal and then having to put on high heels to do a choreographed fight. Like that doesn't the day of, that doesn't make sense. So those are things that I was pretty conscious of.
I mean, costumes might be for me what made me want to be an actor, because I used to run around in Halloween costumes for 3 months at a time when I was younger.
Right.
And I think, like, I mean, you know, I found theater kind of late. Not even that,
like, year-round.
Right. Yeah, truly.
We were kids who definitely played dress-up, like, a lot.
Hell yeah. And that's something I think we all have in common, like, the three of us. Because, whatever, I am the costume designer of the three of us, but I certainly was, like, playing dress-up. My mom was the one who was building our Halloween costumes every year. Like from scratch, from fabric. I remember I didn't, I hadn't said this, but I remember one year I was like, Mom, I want to be a rose. I think I just had this image in my head of like the Alice in Wonderland talking flowers.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
But my mom fully whooped it out. She like built these wire petals that became like this head dress, like kind of like a Shakespearean ruffle, but were also like really wide, like a reverse sombrero. You know what I mean? Like it was amazing. Yes. And she pulled it off and she just made me like a little green bodysuit. And I was like, that was one of the most comfortable Halloween costumes I ever had. And I would wear it today, honestly. Like I would walk down New York City.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It was cute. And I just painted my face red, put little like sparkles on my cheeks to look like, you know, like pollen or something.
Yes. Yeah. That's like really genius, actually.
Yeah, my
like,
mom.
Was a smart go, idea. Mom.
My mom taught me everything I know. I actually have a tattoo in her honor of the fact that she was the first seamstress of my life. And so I have this, I'll show you two who can see it, but I have this.
Yes. We'll describe it.
I have this, it's a pin cushion.
And it says, that's really cute.
And it says mama across it. And then there's a bunch of pins in it. And, you know, she and I, she taught me
how to sew. It's kind of like the style of those, like, hearts, but it has, like, the banner across it says mom. Yeah. I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those classic pin cushions that is, like, shaped like a cloth tomato.
Yes. I love that. I always call those tomatoes, too, and I always wonder if that's, like, the real, what it's supposed to be or whatever.
I remember to confirm when I was little, like, stealing that from the sewing box because I was just, like, a little beanbag thing.
Exactly.
And then we would push the needles into it because we didn't know what it was for.
Right. and then they just have these little circle bobbles all around it, like this little pimpled tomato.
Well, for us, that was our grandma. I mean, she started sewing costumes. Like, I remember Aladdin. We did like
that one was really
and it was
cool,
like Prince Ali Aladdin. I had a big hat and stuff.
Awesome.
And
honestly, that's the way.
I feel like Mom probably still has that like turban hat somewhere, but like
probably
just, like so fun.
And then even like the sillier costumes. Like I remember doing Casper the Ghost, and it was like we didn't do like store bought costume. She like handmade.
I do remember that.
This
yes.
like very accurate like face stitched like kind of mascot like, head
made
like.
Out of felt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It, it was amazing.
Actually, the cartoon.
Really, yeah. Like, yeah, to the point of the cartoon. Like, this is what I'm representing. This is the version of it. That's hard with cosplay. I've done a couple mm-hmm. Halloween costumes that are cartoons. And one of the funnest ones I did was the Hormone Monstrous. And that was in that was Halloween of 2018.
Oh, yes.
But and it was really the
We'll put
the
a link
thing.
Of this costume because it looks epic.
It's really good.
I wish I'd taken more
it's
photos.
Really
it, was,
good.
It was a really wild night. So I was not necessarily sober for a lot of it.
That means you had a good time.
Yeah.
That's like a very good like party costume.
Absolutely.
Also.
And
like,
I was comfy as hell. But that was really fun.
Yes.
And but it was one of those things where I was like, am I going to be representational or am I going to give myself like a big cartoon head? And ultimately it became mm-hmm. like, I'm a person, I am doing this, you know, within 3 days of Halloween, like not enough time really to like build a giant head from scratch. But like, unlike the Rose costume where my mom was like, we're committed to making you look like a flower. I was like, I am a human representation of a cartoon, you know? And that's funny that you guys really pulled it off with the Casper.
I feel like you really did in that though, like nail like the proportions with like the big wig that you had. It
yeah.
made your head look like much bigger than normal, and the like ears and everything totally like
Aww,
warped your
you.
Proportions a little bit in just the right way. That works really well. Like I did DuckTales 1 year for Halloween.
Oh my God.
I was Scrooge and my boyfriend was Launchpad, and like the best part of
awesome.
That costume that we made is that we actually have like giant duck feet to
Hell
walk around
yeah.
in that like
That's
look
awesome.
Really cartoony and silly, but like that makes the costume having those like exaggerations, like
yeah.
especially for cartoon characters.
I always feel like too, it's like trying to find the balance of that. Cause like I mm-hmm. feel like I've seen this the most at like comic conventions, but people who try to do like live action
right.
Simpsons.
Very con costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
the giant mascot head version works, but it's always more fun when they try to like translate Simpsons into like real humans.
Yeah, yeah. I even think Rick and Morty is another good example.
Yeah.
I see some people who make the whole head mm-hmm. and then other times it's just like, you know, yourself or like the human, but like in the outfits of the characters
right.
or whatever.
I'm wearing
not
a
even just Rick
yeah.
and Morty.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
All of them.
True
like
that.
I've seen Unity, all of the other ones.
Oh my
as
God,
well.
Unity is so good. What a fun group costume.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, I've got Rick ready to go and Mr. Meeseeks.
Oh my God, amazing. This is like, this is not like for future use. This has been like, you've been Rick, you've been Mr. Meeseeks. Oh, you're perfect.
Well, I was Rick and then my boyfriend was Mr. Meeseeks.
That's perfect. I love it.
I kind of force him into a costume every year.
I remember seeing somebody do one of those like, show me what you got heads. Like,
yes.
And they just had it on top of their actual head. So when they were walking through a crowd,
oh, that's
it was
good.
Just kind of above everything.
I love
that's
that.
Good.
He literally was like a big head in the sky.
Yeah. I feel
really
like cons. I love when people play with the crowd aspect of it. I one time saw like, and mm-hmm. This was at the Javits Center, which is set up where there's like kind of an upper level and then a lower cafeteria. So mm. we were just kind of
yeah.
people watching from the top, which meant we had like a top down view of this. And somebody was dressed as Solid Snake, but they had the box. And they were just shuffling through and moving the box a little bit and then like peeking out and then putting it back down.
I love when you make a costume
in character.
Interactive. Exactly. So you
yeah,
start
yeah.
getting part of my roommate who said this, I live with two really, really amazing people who are both like fashion heads and stylists. My one roommate, Birdie.
That's awesome.
She is a hairstylist. So primarily that's how she makes her money, but she's also like freaking fashionable. Both of them style the hell out of me. Like they will go thrifting and then come home with things
yes.
for me because like they liked it, but they Ooh. Knew it wouldn't fit them. And then they like come home with it for me. And I'm like, you guys, this is like the fact that my roommates shop for me. It's so nice. I'm sorry. This is a digression.
That's awesome.
But my roommate was basically saying he was
no,
like,
I'm
it's
jealous.
No, yeah, it's great. He was basically saying like, it's no fun when people don't recognize your costume, when people don't like look at you and say like, hey, mm-hmm. this is it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to make an argument in the other direction, which is that when people don't recognize it, you get a chance to tell them about it. And that's kind of fun too. And cons are really great for that because
yeah.
Lauren, you had a great story about someone seeing you in a bathroom and just being like, I don't know what your costume is. Well, you should tell that story.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, full disclosure, this is our second take because we lost some audio. No need to hide it, you know? But yeah, like I think like the recognition thing is a huge deal for me with costumes. Like I especially don't like it on Halloween when like you have to explain your costume over and over. It just like is a little bit of a bummer for me. But at conventions, like everybody knows who you are. And like the ultimate example to me is like Rocket and Groot because at conventions, like absolutely everybody knows who we are. But the year that we wore that that on Halloween was the year that that movie came out. And it wasn't like everybody understood who all the Guardians of the Galaxy were at that point. And this lady like looked at me in the bathroom, like while we were washing our hands, and she's just very serious. She's like, I don't know what your costume is, but you clearly spent a lot of time on it, and I like it.
Well, I feel like the only other side of that is sometimes people have those costumes that are, like, a bit more abstract, and somehow it's wordplay, and, like, it's kind of a game to, like, figure out what the costume is. I never do those because I'm always, like, the way I pick costumes is, like, that's a character I like or a role I want to play or something that I was just, looks cool.
Exactly. Yeah, I have a good example of that when my boyfriend, I roped him into this group costume, but he kind of had the idea when we were like the Flintstoners. Like we were clearly like Fred and Wilma, but we were just like weeded out. Like I made him his great big orange tunic with instead of having these like big black blocks on it, I put just like weed leaf pattern on it, and I made like you know my little like classic white tennis outfit, and it was just fun. Being like sort of a recognizable costume, like people are like, "You're the Flintstones," and I'm like, "Well, if you take a look closer, you will notice the bloodshot eyes and the
You guys did like apocalyptic something, or you guys have done those themed costumes before too, where you like take it and like, tweak it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Or one of my favorite costumes we did, and this is definitely like a convention, not Halloween costume, because no one would get it. Maybe people would actually, but it was a weird one. But we did the Mario after party, so it was like Mad Max meets Mario.
Oh shit! And like post-apocalyptic Mario. That's funny.
It was awesome. Like I was Princess Peach, and I actually found like a turtle shell at an antique store, like cut it out and made it into like a shoulder armor piece, and like all kinds of stuff. Like we went really hard on this.
That's
awesome.
Of course.
We'll have to make sure we put photos of all these costumes we're talking about.
Yeah. We're just going to need photographic evidence for all of it.
I know. Pixar didn't happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Taking a half step away from Halloween for like a moment just to talk about like your experience with making costumes. Is there stuff you see where you're like, man, I wish that I had worked on that project. Like I wish or it like feels like it was like taken out of your own brain. Because I feel like there's times where like I watch a piece of I see a piece of theater, I see a movie, and I was like, I wrote something so close to this at one point. I could have made this movie. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. Damn. I wish I had like a really like close example, but as far as, you know how there's this saying, and they certainly talk about it in acting school, but like the voice of the playwright, like it's kind of the thing that I'm talking about with like, you know that a director has a vision before you get to the beginning of a project, you know that the director has the vision. But like, I think that certain movies and TV will have like the voice of the costume designer, like really closer to the front mm-hmm. than you'd think. And I was talking about The Good Place yesterday because I just love that show, but mm-hmm. I also, and Michael Schur shows just have this, this really great thing about them, which is that every character is just so distinctly themselves. Every line that comes out of their mouth is like not a thing that none of the other characters would say it. And they wouldn't say it the mm-hmm. way that character would. But I love The Good Place because each outfit looks exactly like that person in like so many different capacities. Mm-hmm. Like especially Eleanor Shellstrop, who is Kristen Bell's character on that show. Like I just relate to her completely in so many other ways, being like a tiny bisexual spitfire, you know, but she's so great. And I think that like they really nailed the just sheer like American girl, like basic, like a little saucy. They really nailed it down. And I think when you start a show, you kind of phone it in. Like you have these like little tags. Like I know that she's pretty uncomplicated and we don't really want to give too much away. So we're going to be really light and vague about the costume choices. And at the beginning, it's like, yeah, okay, she's in like jeans and a plaid shirt. And jeans and a plaid shirt, mm-hmm. I can just point at that in any show and any TV, any modern look, and just be like, okay, they didn't want to think hard about it, or they chose not to think about it because they don't want to give too much away. But then over the course of The Good Place, each character is just like, I don't know, they develop and you just get really accustomed to how they are and who they are. And it like, it just makes more and more sense. Everything that they put on those bodies, mm-hmm. like over the course of the show, makes more and more and more sense to me. And so that was one thing where I was like, the voice of the costume designer is so distinct and at the forefront of this. And so it's really, I'm also just, I have it in my head because I've been rewatching it and it's all on Netflix now.
It's which is fantastic.
I was like, still count.
I feel like though, you're making a great point though, because a lot of times I think when people think of costume design, they're thinking of like, Game of Thrones right. or cowboy westerns.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and all those,
you know, Law
great.
And Order
yeah.
still has a costume designer, like, you know.
Exactly. And you yeah. know, like when we talked about The Office is fun too. Mm-hmm. And is The Office Michael Schur? I can't remember.
He was a writer for that show, but I don't think he took over as like showrunner until Parks and Rec.
Right. I kind of
talk about Parks and Rec instead, because that's another great example.
Exactly.
Of like, yeah, I can think of like exactly what each character wears like differently. And there's even like that episode where like Leslie gives April her old clothes and you're like, oh yeah, that would have been Leslie like 10 years ago. Like
one that I think absolutely nails it is Riverdale on the
yeah.
CW.
Oh my gosh.
Because they're
yes.
all
Dude, their costumes
archetypes.
Are incredible.
Yeah. Yes. And they just like, I feel like you could see somebody dressed as those characters and you're going to know like exactly what it is, even though it is all plain clothes.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And
right.
it's funny too, because that's also using a comic book reference, but they updated so much that you're still like, oh, that totally is like Betty, just like the comic books, but what she would wear now. And
right.
it's like, it never feels like it's too far. It's like perfect. I
yeah.
love Riverdale's like entire like visual style. Like they just nail that stuff.
It's true. It's we love all the CW shows in all of their mm-hmm. full sincere ridiculousness. I have not committed my time and energy to Riverdale. I really should, because I gave Chilling Adventures of Sabrina
oh,
a try.
It's like Riverdale yeah. is my guilty pleasure, because it's just like sexy trash. Like they turn Mrs.
Don't feel guilty
no,
about
no, but
it.
They,
yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, that show tells you exactly what it is. I think the first line, one of the first lines is like they're coming back from summer and somebody's like, Archie got hot. And I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm in.
I remember that. Well, Jughead is a great example of what we're talking about, because mm-hmm. you look at that character in the comic book and you're like, what the hell is that outfit? And you just know, like, from the cartoon, from the comic, that he is the goofball. He's supposed to be the comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they turned, which Sprouse is it? I can't remember. The way that they turned him into
Cole,
yeah? The way they turned
yeah,
him into this just, like, very, you know, 2018 or whenever that show started, 2017,
mm-hmm.
very modern teenager who is using these sort of like iconic goofball looks in an ironic way. Like you just know
mm-hmm.
that the hipster jumped out of him, and it like
oh, absolutely.
Is so it's just such a 17-year-old way to be, you know, like I'm gonna wear this weird hat because it's cool, but also it's kind of goofy and nobody else would wear it, you know. And then you're just like, and there's the
absolutely.
Jug and there's the reasoning behind the Jughead hat. It makes complete sense, you know, like it's good. It's good choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, the other CW show I was going to mention was Reign, which is this like
mm-hmm.
very, very fictionalized drama, melodrama version of like Queen Elizabeth, Queen Mary, and like all of the Spanish and English and French conquests and inquisitions.
I've never known
that
there's like, there's no dragons. It's not fantasy.
No, it's not fantasy.
Okay.
It's all drama. It's all drama. And it's another CW show.
Love
and
it.
And, you know, we talked about Game of Thrones because Game of Thrones has their whole costume design, I mean, they had, you know, millions and millions, the most expensive TV show ever made, right, to date.
But they used that money to make it, like, really stand out.
And even
like,
when the show
yeah,
was bad,
it
still
stuff, yeah.
had the prettiest costumes. I mean, I think
right.
people were still
mm-hmm.
like, Cersei and Dany's outfits, like, have so much detail in them in that last season that it's
right.
like, well, let's ignore
like,
the plot
well,
for a while.
Right.
I don't agree with the reasons that you're storming King's Landing, but I really want to see what outfit you're going to show up in.
Exactly. That show is like such amazing texture and attention to detail. And we were
mm-hmm.
both talking about the fact that the embroidery per house is specific
mm-hmm.
to the house. Like just the attention to detail is amazing. And obviously it's really possible when you have billions of dollars available to you for a budget, which is like a dream of mine. But Reign is not that show, okay? Reign is definitely like, it's got the period piece thing going for it. And it's definitely like, you
mm-hmm.
know, the silhouettes are on point. They're in the 16th century or 17th century or whatever. I'm not good at history, but they definitely like modernize it so that everybody looks really sexy. Like everyone just looks really damn good. Like everyone looks like they're going to the Oscars sometimes. Like if they're not important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be like a Met Ball theme one year.
They did
right.
the Taron
like
Egerton
year.
Robin Hood a few years ago, which
yes.
like they all looked like they were so modern, but it was also, it never leaned too far away that I was like, well, it's not like breaking it for me. It's just like,
right.
this is some weird mix.
Right. You're
yeah,
in the world. The
too.
World is built. But we also like, because of like globalization and we all have our sort of own perspectives, you still gave it room to like look really, really good in 2020. You know, like, or, you know, everyone
mm-hmm.
kind of feels like you're in the world, but it still is like a fashion choice. And when I learned that the costume designer of Rain is the same as Gossip Girl, I was like, okay, yeah, duh.
That's awesome.
Isn't that fun?
That's like, really, yeah. Like, you go from like what extreme change in your career, but like right. How fun would that be if that was you? Like, I'm not stuck in Gossip Girl land. Now I get to do like knights and ladies and crazy stuff.
Right.
Like, or, I guess not knights. It's further than that. But
right. Like, I haven't seen Rain, so I can't speak to it on that. But it's I'm thinking of the Game of Thrones thing, though. And it's like, we're talking about the hyper detailed stuff. But what they also do in that show that I think is great is that there is just like color coding and iconography that you can turn into costumes that's very like low budget versions of that, that people will still understand. Like if you put fur on your shoulders and you're in all black, people are like, got it. You're Jon Snow. Like,
yep, totally.
Pretty if you, easy.
Yeah. All the like long hair, blue dress, Daenerys.
Right. I was like, they did a very good job of like figuring out how to, you know, I guess what I'm, it's weird to say it this way, but it's like, you know, cause superheroes kind of have that given already, but it's like creating a uniform for the character.
Yeah. I mean,
I think a Doug Funny where it's like, there's that joke in that show where he opens his closet and it's just like an entire row of khaki shorts, green vests, and white shirts.
Sweater vest. Exactly. Also, like, yeah, all such the same a good outfit. Look. And that's something that's, this is actually great advice. It's a really good way to like just kind of quietly frame a costume designer's maybe starting point. Like, okay, you look at what's the biggest symbol that you can see or the biggest symbol you can think of. And then you kind of like add accessories or elaborate or whatever upon each character. But this is also just really good advice for like cosplayers and people who want to make their own costumes. It's like, just look at the big stuff. Look at what stands out. Like saying to somebody like exactly what you just said. Like, okay, Jon Snow wears black and he has got fur on his shoulders. And like, that's really what it takes. You know, you go to a con and people know, you know, that's cool. I think it's one of the best things about making your own costumes. Like we don't do store-bought. Okay. This is one of the best parts.
All around the table here. None of us are store-bought fans, but you know, it's even
firmly
if
I believe in that,
even if it looks like, I mean, I think of that, what's the Be Kind Rewind, the sweeted thing where it's like, you know, there's some charm to the taped together costume. That you just grabbed a sheet and, you know, tied it around your neck and drew an S on a shirt. And you're like, I'm Superman.
Yeah. As much as I love seeing like some like ridiculously elaborate cosplays that like light up and have like every detail of armor in like, you know, like Monster Hunter or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're just like absolutely nuts. And I'm like, this is amazing. I also just love it when someone like makes a cardboard Iron Man thing and shows up and has the best day ever. Well, you know,
and like, even those movies just, like, know that stuff is fun. Cause I think of like Spider-Man, there's always a chapter where he's in the like homemade, like the, like, I mean, I know they try to say they're all homemade, but like the one that's actually like a sweat jacket
it looks
and
like
stuff.
He made
and, yeah. Yeah.
Right. There is always that moment where he's like in his sneakers. And the Miles Morales one with all the different Spider-Mans was really fun. Into the Spider-Verse.
Well, that's the best
that
he like wears
fun.
Air Jordans. Ugh. Like that's a great detail.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or even Peter B. Parker really just has like, you know, like a trench coat and like regular clothes on in a Spider-Man.
Well, and the sweatpants and the Spider-Man suit, you know, it's like they did a great job of taking something and finding ways to alter it to make the character out of that.
Right.
And I love like, post that movie at conventions, like everybody has their own like spider that they can fit into now. Cause you know, like I see so many people do it and it's like, you know, like a tall guy will do, you know, Spider-Man Noir and like kids do, you know, Miles and Gwen. And then like, you know, the like same guys who do like Thor Lebowski do Peter B. Parker and all this stuff. Like,
you might remember this, but there was a year at New York Comic Con where I was kind of trolling because that summer that usually happens in the fall, and that summer the comic book run that they were doing of Ultimate Spider-Man, they just killed Peter Parker and created Miles Morales. This is like the birth of that character. I think this was like 2013. Yeah.
I think that was exactly
I, you know, the last day we were going, I didn't really want to do a full costume, so I took a sheet.
We went hard.
I cut out the eyes. I was a ghost, and then I just put the Spider-Man logo on it. And like a lot of people didn't get it, but the ones who did were just like too soon.
That was the best part about that costume was that like I have this picture somewhere where you are standing with like all these spider.
Yeah, there was
people,
like Hulk Spider-Man,
they had this really cool like Spider-Man like photo shoot thing where you, like, it's like Spider-Man hanging down from a like street lamp and you could take your picture with it. And there's this huge group of cosplayers who are all different Spider-Man. Like, yeah, there's like Spider-Ham, the Hulk Spider-Man. Jake was in there, a couple regular Spider-Mans, like 10 or 12 different Spider-Mans. And like, after we took the photo, the Hulk guy looks at you, Jake, and he's just like confused. And he's like, no, too soon. It was so funny.
Wow. Good one.
That's one of those deep cuts that I knew I was walking into the right room with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's that recognition thing. You can really get away with murder at conventions. People really will like recognize those like super specific cuts, but like that's the place to wear them. I feel like on Halloween, I go a little more mainstream than now.
I mean, I'm sure this is true to some extent in any city, but my favorite part about New York Comic Con, and really the same thing happens on Halloween, depending on what neighborhood you live in, but you know, I haven't always lived close to where the convention center at, and you get on the train, and if you're in costume, you're like the first person and the only one in costume. And then you go a few more stops into the city, or you're going through this part of Brooklyn, and then like more people get on, and then, you know, like at more the costumes. End of the train, you spot a stormtrooper or something, and, and it just like slowly gets more and more like filled up with cartoon characters and stuff as you get closer to the convention. It's just really fun.
More and more celebratory as we all make our unified commute to the con.
That's right. Well, the funniest one I remember was like we were just like grabbing a bite to eat a few blocks from the Javits Center, and somebody in like film accurate Queen Amidala outfit walks in like a posse, awesome. And it was just like, oh my god.
Wow, impressed.
I love that stuff. We've totally been like pulled into people's like prom photos and stuff that were going on like around cut conventions and stuff, which is super fun. So I love all that kind of thing. I love when you leave and like it spreads out everywhere, which is like why I love Halloween so much, because like your entire city turns into like everybody in these costumes and it's just so much fun. Like,
oh man,
I like Halloween the most because it's just such a low pressure holiday and it's just about having fun. And,
we don't need everybody's costumes either. Like, as much silly. As this is about costumes, you don't need to be wearing a costume to have fun. And definitely, no, like,
it just adds, we're the people who need to wear a costume.
Exactly. I totally had somewhere I was going, and I can't.
I always appreciate, though, that person that just shows up to the party and puts on a name tag and just says there or something. Like, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You came ready to play. Like,
I saw that joke where it's like, Go ahead.
Oh, no. I saw someone at a party once who was wearing like a suit, like a three-piece suit, and just was carrying around a sign that said, I'm sorry. And it took me forever, but I was like, oh, my God, you're a formal apology.
Oh, my God. See, that's what I couldn't think of any before, but this is what I was trying to say. Like, those are the costumes where you want people to guess it. You don't want them to know it right away.
That's such a good one. Yeah. I remember our little cousin Meridian did one that was really cool with All for Friends, where they were encouraged mints, and they were like peppermints, but they all said like, good job, you're awesome. They had little signs and stuff.
That's really good.
So adorable.
Yeah. Nothing cuter than a kid.
I love that
in a
kind
costume.
Of stuff.
Oh my gosh. Oh, actually,
kid costumes are the best.
The only thing cuter is dog costumes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree there.
Right.
We're cat some people, great though, kid costumes. Right?
Yeah.
Jake, for the most part.
Do you remember one year, like back home in Chesterfield, when like the kids came up to the house and they were all the knights from Monty Python and the parents were the like squires with the coconuts?
I do remember that. It was pretty good.
That's perfect.
That was a really epic costume for that group. That was really cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's not something that we can do this year, but handing out candy used to be a fun thing to do when we lived in the suburbs. You know, it was like, I remember one year we had this crazy alien suit that covered every, you know, it was like a jumpsuit that was like bright, like shiny silver. And then there were hands, gloves, and a mask that tucked into that. So like when you had it on, you couldn't really see a person. So, you know, like I did the classic, like pose like a scarecrow and like not move on the porch.
A living statue.
And the candy's right in front of me. And I would wait till kids got like really close and then jump out. And I think I gave a few kids nightmares that year, but in the spirit of Halloween.
Probably ruined some underwear that night, Jake. Good job. Just kidding. Kids are the best part neighbors. Too, man. Like love... I've been babysitting off and on here in New York since I moved, and I loved joining the kids that I babysat on Halloween. Like, I would make it a point to be like, hey, what are you guys doing for Halloween? Like, can I come over? Even just for a part of it. And a couple of years we were doing like, we would do a group thing. Like my sister had a kid she was babysitting when she lived here, and he was obsessed with the Wicked Witch of the West, and he wanted to do Wizard of Oz, but he wanted to be the witch. And so the rest of us,
that's awesome,
just to make his night, we all dressed up as, I was the Cowardly Lion, my best friend was the Tin Man, my sister was Dorothy.
That's so cool.
Oh, I was thinking like just fleet of flying monkeys.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. Wait, actually, I think his brother was a flying monkey.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. And then it was so fun because Lennon was 8, maybe a little younger, 7. So he's the small one. And BB, the older brother, we call him BB, he was probably 14 or 15. So he was just a much taller flying monkey.
it was great.
But okay, so that's I so said cool. Kids are the best part of Halloween. But obviously, as we are all grown adults, Halloween doesn't get less fun. As
no, adult Halloween is also fun. Very fun.
It stays fun as hell, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Exactly. What are you guys dressing up? Are you doing costumes this year?
Oh yes, of course. I can't help myself.
I'm probably gonna be figure
Tiger King.
Oh nice.
Yeah. Oh my god. Mask friendly.
It's gonna be a good time.
Hell yeah.
Yes, I'm gonna get a mask and sequin it.
Perfect.
Get a is it a tiger theme mask or is it gonna just like be a Joe Exotic theme mask?
I'm gonna get a solid like a black mask, and then I was gonna do tiger stripes but in sequins.
Oh, there you go.
You're a genius.
I think if I end up doing Halloween this year, it's going to be some sort of virtual Halloween. So I just need a costume from like the torso up.
Zoom Halloween.
Yeah.
I wish I could send you my Cookie Monster from last year because it would be so good on Zoom.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. It's got it had like a mechanical mouth.
Lori, yeah, is your so fun. Is your boyfriend couple costuming with you?
This year, because he's just under like a lot of stress, I'm just letting him do his own thing. But we have so many costumes in our house that like, I think if he feels like it on the day, he can just grab some.
Oh my God. I ended up in Halloween last year in Texas with her. And you know, I wasn't really planning to be there at first. So I didn't have a costume with me or anything. And Lauren's just like, well, there's 3 closets full of costumes if you need anything.
Amazing.
Yeah. We actually ended up getting you 2 costumes because you borrowed one of Trevor's and then we made you Ernie.
Yeah, we did a little Sesame Street last year.
Oh, I love that. That's really cute.
It was quick. That was a really fun one.
I can't believe I broke my hand this year a couple weeks ago. I'm all bandaged up. My roommate showed me a really cool anime character, and it wasn't from an anime I'd heard of, but she was showing me that she has like a big fist, like some kind of weapon, like on her arm. And she was like, you should be here for Halloween. I was like, that's cool as hell.
Oh, was it Full Metal Alchemist?
Yes, it was Full Metal. Yeah, now that you mentioned
it's Winry.
Exactly, that's who it was. Exactly. And I was like, that would actually be
an awesome Winry.
That would be really cool. And as soon as she showed me, I was like, and it's literally the 28th. Like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I bought a cool jacket. I'm going to alter it. And I have like a fun balaclava that has bunny ears. So I'm just going to be some kind of like creepy, like post-apocalyptic, you know, funky, I don't
raver.
Know. We'll figure it. Yeah, some very raver. Actually, I'm gonna. I have silver hot glue, and I'm gonna like melt it into like these kind of drips that I think I'm gonna attach to the jacket, and it's gonna look kind of like mercury dripping down.
It's gonna look so cool.
Yeah. So that's really like
fringe.
That sounds awesome.
That's right. That's right. It's really the extent of what I've come up with, and it's not really a concept so much as like I wanted to look cool and also kind of spooky.
You got to go with what works, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, I'm an alien raver, and that's my choice.
Exactly. And they knew that's up to me. Yeah.
It won't be this true this year, but like, you know, Halloween sometimes is a weekend-long event that takes more than a few days. And I always save all my costumes from things I direct, things I act in, if I can steal them. And I'm out of town for COVID reasons right now, but if I'm at home, I could usually just peek into that closet and be like, I can find something in here.
Yeah, that's essentially where I'm at. I just kind of opened up my apartment. We had a roommate move out, and we just kind of committed to taking on the extra rent to just like have more space in our home. But now basically because of that, I have like a whole workspace. And so I'm finally starting to like pull out all of my stashed stuff. And I have a lot more supplies than I realized. So in spite of being last minute because I broke my hand this year, I still have options. And that's always really, that's a good thing. Even my roommates who wanted to group costume as Scooby-Doo, which is classic. You know, it was like, I have things for my roommate to be Velma. I have things for my other roommate to be Fred. And they were looking at me and they were like, why don't you be Daphne? And I was like, why are you asking me to be Daphne when I'm so clearly Shaggy? I don't understand. Where you, did you just forget that I am literally like the king of Scooby snack? Like, duh. So that's also on the table
with that.
Yeah.
It's always funny with group costumes when you all have to like decide who's going to be who. Like that's such a like oh, don't make you the loser.
Right? I feel like if I was in the city, I'd be trying to do some kind of costume that would like seal me in so that I could feel like I could go out and not be exposing anybody, like Bubble Boy or...
Oh my God, Bubble Boy. If I don't see a single Bubble Boy, if I do indeed go out to New York, this and obviously like with COVID safety, social distance, all of those things should be employed. I have no idea if there's going to be a parade, you know? What does it look like? Bubble Boy is genius. That's freaking smart.
Yeah, it might be fun to at least walk around and see people, you know, because that would be really good. We should brainstorm costumes that are COVID safe.
I would love to do I mean, this is like a costume that I almost did for Con one year was Yorick from Why the Last Man, because you just get the hood and the gas mask and you just need like a stuffed monkey and you have a costume.
Hell yeah.
Boom.
Could do a Bane.
Yeah, everyone will know like what that is in like 2022.
Right. I know. I'm like a little bit ahead on that one. The show's not out yet.
You just had to, you gotta jump on it. That's good though. It's good when a character is so exciting to you that you're like, I can't wait to be them. I can't wait to do that. That happened to me with the Steven Universe movie, which came out in September of last year. And I literally bought everything I could possibly get to be Spinel, who is the villain in that movie. And she's terrifying. And I love her. And I related to her so much because ultimately Steven Universe is one of these like really, 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 really sensitive, touchy, like, you know, cartoons that like cuts to the core of feelings and trauma and like generational, like just crazy the levels they get to. And I will never not love that show forever. But I just never got around to finishing my cosplay for Spinel. And so I have everything. I've got a bunch of pink fabric. I literally bought a scythe, like a Grim Reaper scythe that I was going to adapt to be like her. She's got this cool like rejuvenator scythe weapon. And I just never got around to doing it. And I felt so dumb. I leaned into doing Us last year, the Jordan Peele film, which was really fun. But it was also, it was just early enough. Actually, Us came out in February of 2019 or 2018. I can't remember now. I think 2019.
That movie, I feel I expected it to make a bigger splash than I feel like it did. I don't know. I have seen people do that costume, but I thought like that was going to be the costume of last year.
Me too.
I remember like predicting that. And like the only time I've seen it is like at conventions, which is, you know, awesome as well. Because like I saw like an entire group of 100 people do it, which was really epic. But like that was all very well planned out and creepy. Yeah.
Like kind of flash mobs hands
and surrounded the dance floor. Yeah.
I feel like
really good though.
The number of IT costumes has like gone up, like the clown. Oh, yeah, that like I that
see a lot.
Is
and
constant.
I also see Georgie. Georgie a lot because it's just a raincoat and a red balloon.
Yeah.
I saw, and then you see, at the end of the night, you see lots of red balloons in the street.
True that. I saw a photo sad going around like on the internet that was like somebody dressed their two chihuahuas, one as Pennywise and the other as Georgie, and it was so cute. And they like even they did a little photo shoot, and they put like this like scared little Georgie Chihuahua like slightly inside of a drain, like put the Pennywise.
Funniest thing I've seen with stuff like that though is like when you're at a comic convention, you see somebody dressed as this terrifying clown, and they're just like, you know, eating a hot dog.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love the like casual moments for like really intense characters when you're at those.
I was on this film shoot where they wanted this like smoke monster thing that looked like a ringwraith, and this girl was like a dancer who was playing this so she could like move all crazy and had these like long fingers and stuff. And I just have this photo of her like taking a coffee break. It looks so funny.
Actually, like this is a really silly memory, but when I still worked for the Astros, we did Star Wars Day, and I was like we were underground waiting for the little like parade thing to start, like, you know, like where you're like on the field level, and I'm hanging out with like literally all the like 501st Legion stormtroopers, which like you literally have to like qualify and like test in to have your costume be good enough to be in that group. That's like how you get in. And so like they're all in their stormtrooper outfits, like 100%, and they have the like voice changer, so they sound exactly like they do in the movie and everything. And this guy comes over to me and he's like, do you know where you can get any water, ma'am? And I was just like dying. And they're just like talking about like their normal stuff in stormtrooper voice, like, oh yeah, you and the wife are gonna come over for dinner next week. Like, it's so funny.
It's probably like what real stormtroopers are doing on like, you know, on patrol.
Right. I know, but it was like priceless. This was like before we had the like Matt the radar technician type jokes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like, I loved it.
That's super good.
I've actually, I'm ashamed and I've never been to any Comic-Con, but I'm enough of a nerd that like I follow it. I will like watch videos after the fact and I definitely love talking about it. So one day when I have, you know, money and free time, I will absolutely
do it. And the world is spinning again.
Right, you know? When like, everything seems to be back to normal.
The world is COVID-less, we'll go to New York Comic-Con together because that's an amazing one.
That is very fun. Beautiful light on the horizon for me right now.
Yes. Definitely one of the things I miss the most.
For sure.
Let's bring it back to Halloween. Conventions will be there again one day.
Well, what about you guys? What are some of your favorite costumes you've done in the past?
Guardians is probably like my number one because I've not only made one version of it, but I've made two because I did Guardians 1 and then when Guardians of the Galaxy 2 came out, like Rocket's outfit is completely different and Groot is tiny. So I made a tiny Groot and I made Trevor be Yondu instead. So we also have that entire costume.
That's awesome, on deck. Actually.
That Yondu's one was great. Actually like the reaction to that one was like amazing at the conventions because everybody loved it and people were just yelling, Mary Poppins at him like all day.
I do know that there is some intention behind those designers like changing the costumes every movie. Like I know that Filoni, who did all the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels TV shows and stuff, said that he like changes Sabine's outfit every season, changes her hair and stuff so that cosplayers have something new to do. I mean, I think it's trolling
that's
a bit, but it's pretty funny.
That's for us. I love that.
I like that, though, because, like, yeah, then everybody does, like, their own version of it, or they pick their favorite outfit. And then, like I've seen so many, like, photos, like Star Wars is a great example, like, where you'll see, like, all the Queen Amidala's, like, at the convention, you know, like, and the Handmaidens, like, they have all their different outfits, and, like, those are all incredible outfits. Like,
yeah.
It's funny. I'm thinking back on, like, my favorite costumes, and I have a bunch that I really liked wearing, but the one that I think like sunk in the most because it became part of my regular wardrobe for the next few years was Pirates of the Caribbean came out when I was in middle school.
God.
And that came out like right before, like I that forgot. Came out in September and I had the costume completely built by that October. And the year after was when that became the costume to do. Mm-hmm. But I bought this like black pirate coat. And I'm like a nerdy 12-year-old, 11-year-old kid that just like wants to be a pirate. So I wore that same coat for like the next like 3 years of my life. I just became like the kid with the big black coat.
Yeah. You were like in character all the time when you wore that and could like do the Jack Sparrow impersonation. And that was like a very fun costume.
That goes back to like I just really cast myself when I do my Halloween costumes. I just want to play that role.
Yeah, like who am I the most like in this thing that I like? Or who, I love that though. You do cast yourself.
I think there are definitely things, I definitely have things where like, as soon as I see it, I'm like, I have to do that costume sometime. Yeah. Like, either I like it so much or I like the character so much, I just have to jump in.
That's the best. When it's just like immediate inspiration. Immediately you get ideas.
Or like, this is me.
Right. As a costume designer, I don't really like... I get kind of judgy and I do like, I love to watch TV and movies. And I obviously with all the extra time we've been given this year, it's kind of like inundated my life and it feels like it's bottomless, the things that I need to like watch and catch up on. But I do try to like really just respect the choices that are made. But I recently rewatched the Johnny Depp Sweeney Todd and I was just like annoyed. I was like, you know, these people, you know, Sweeney Todd and Helena Bonham Carter, they just look so insane. But the whole thing with that, and I've always loved Sweeney Todd and it's always been like on my fantasy list of either starring in or designing. But it's like,
that would be a great one.
How did these two people get away with murdering and cooking humans into pies for so long when they literally look like the Bride of Frankenstein and, you know, like they're just standing out in a
crowd.
Like
you might as well have the Coneheads next door, like
exactly.
Something's wrong.
You know, it's funny you single out that movie because like I kind of tend to knock on musical adaptations to film because I feel like most of the time I just feel like they're filming a stage and it's like not any different than it would be on stage. But that's one of the few that I'm like, they actually do some crazy stuff that's a bit different. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying that it's like, it is a choice to make that aesthetic that far crazy.
Well, and it's also very much Tim Burton choice.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like just kind of Tim Burton's cup of tea. Make everybody,
signature.
Give him crazy hair that looks like his.
Right.
Paint them white.
Exactly. And I totally agree with you because that I mean, we're not going to talk about cats, okay? Maybe we should talk about cats, but we're not going to talk about cats.
Talk about the good and bad.
Right? I was like, cats in specific relation to costume is an interesting thing, though, because I think that's where they miss the most.
It is.
I have to say one quick thing before we jump from Sweeney Todd, though, because it's like that quote from Addams Family where they see Wednesday on Halloween, she's dressed normal, and they're like, what are you dressed as? She's like, I'm a serial killer. They look just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Like, I think that is kind of scarier.
Exactly. Like, and the point I was going to make was that I really want to do Sweeney Todd in like 1970s London and basically just give Sweeney Todd the Ted Bundy treatment. Like, I would just want him to be charming, sexy, normal seeming, you know?
With the voice of an angel. That's why they all, you know, like.
That's how you get away with it. That's how, like, I mean, I don't know. I've never been a serial killer. But yeah, it's true. I think that they should look like,
you know, like I've thought about this only a little bit.
We don't have to beat up cats too much because it's been hit to death. But there's two funny things about that. That was the last movie I saw in theaters before COVID hit, and to now is my last theatrical experience, which is not exactly something I'm proud of. But I think of things where it's like when you see that show on stage, it's not that weird. It is weird.
Magical.
Yeah, but you're
and I
seeing
really like those costumes. You're seeing they look really great.
Well, the costume is meant to represent a cat. I think of something like Wizard of Oz, like the original Wizard of Oz, like the lion.
Yeah,
that looks
the lion.
Better than this weird like CGI costume thing. Like it's the costume is really where they went wrong with that movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like no lines between whether or not like cats wear clothes, but it can also be part of them.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's a bit silly. I just don't know where they made the choice that the people should be CGI and the backgrounds are real. Because
it's really tough.
Really watching
it's one
the
of
people.
Those, the whole thing.
Yeah, I love cats. I've always loved
cats.
We
do too, actually. Yeah.
We also like genuinely like the musical.
Right.
Yeah,
it's so good. The music is actually pretty amazing. And I think when they were looking at doing a film adaptation, they were like, the thing that people know about cats is that it's humans as cats, which is necessary. It is part of the necessity of that created the invention of Cats the musical, that we were going to put humans representing cats on stage. But in the medium of film, it's not a necessity. You don't need humans. You know what I mean? Like you do, but you don't. Like
it could have been animated.
Exactly. And make it an animation or lean into the animal and make it cats actually doing the sort of human-like things of what, like, you know, T.S. Eliot invented for these cats that they have their whole own lives and they have these like really funny traits and they, you know,
I do think it was the right move not to go like
too much of either.
The Lion King route, though, and give like photorealistic cats
I
that sing. Like, that wouldn't have been great either.
Exactly. Like, I'm saying that was an option, but I don't think I would have loved it either. And I don't know. I just wish that it didn't happen. kind of, you know?
Yeah. I do think it's like openly hilarious to like watch that movie because it's so bad and weird, but like, it's just so many weird choices all at once. And it's like, why do you guys keep doing this? Where like, we're all like, this hits this uncanny valley that we all don't like. Please stop.
Just somewhere they confuse people representing cats as people cats.
Yeah.
Which is not the same thing.
And like, I know that there's like more movies coming out that they want to do stuff like this, like the new Disney remakes, like the new Robin Hood is supposed to be like fox people like cats. And I don't understand.
It reminds me of those like weird Orangina commercials from Europe that are like, they're way too sexual
and
like just bizarre. Like
too sexy.
Well, I hadn't heard about that Robin Hood adoption. I'm like a little nervous. I'm a little scared actually.
It makes me nervous too because I love that original cartoon, but I don't understand the choice of like fox people. You could do one or the other and I would sort of get it, but landing in this middle ground is an interesting choice.
Well,
I guess.
And I'm also like, just like thinking of like, you know, didn't really look great in Cats, and then I'm thinking of all the times they've tried to put like Beast from X-Men on screen and it's never really looked right, and I'm like, I don't know if there's like a I don't unless it's all practical makeup somehow, I don't know how this is going to look like anything good.
We really
it's going to be very interesting to see how this all evolves and like how these like digital costumes will kind of become more of a thing, cuz like I think like Gollum is a great example where they used like CG to completely transform a person into something like unbelievable and awesome, like that works in that movie. But then these other things are like, I don't understand.
I concur. It's totally one of those things where it's like we had the technology, but we never stopped to think about whether we should, you know, like.
Well, but I think there's a right.
Life found a way.
There's like
right.
a good and bad way to do it, though, because I look at something like The Mandalorian mm-hmm. versus Cats, and it's like they're doing digital backdrops, but practical people and practical things on right. set, and if that looks moving, a lot mm-hmm. better.
We've really undervalued practical effects. In the last maybe like 10 years of like yeah. popular movies, I feel like.
I feel like it's coming mm-hmm. a bit back around. I think people are starting to get that like you need a blend of the two that like right. makes it feel Star Wars tangible.
Does it. Star Wars definitely does it and has always done it the best.
Right. But that's, I think, what makes Mandalorian finally blend in with the other Star Wars stuff that we like the original Star Wars, because they relied on practical again, it looks like original Star Wars right. stuff that we like, because those were all dudes in suits.
Well, it looks exactly. better to see the rubber mask than it does to see something that you're like, but that's just like, I can just tell it's like a video game cutscene yeah, like, or something. Or mm-hmm. like,
yeah, mm-hmm. like I just rewatched the prequels and Yoda is tough to look at.
And they had like, the really puppet tough. Sitting around when they made that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never understand that one. And I mean, like a really yeah. great example is like Shape of Water. That costume blows my
wow,
mind.
That's
and
a really good
and like yeah. it can also go underwater. And like when you see what it looks like regularly, it's amazing. And then you see right. just the little touches they added to it digitally to make it completely lifelike. It's absolutely mind blowing.
I mean,
like,
shout
that
out,
is a really incredible...
shout out Guillermo del Toro. Like he's a personal
oh, yeah,
hero.
Every time.
Love
every
him
time.
So much.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
real unified yeah. vision for all of his movies combined. Like he nails
right.
costume look. All design elements always.
Right.
The yeah, other, yeah, I love his yeah. costumes.
The other thing I was considering with my incorporating my cast into my costume was just being like Hellboy, but Hellgirl.
Yes.
Like that'd be really, that'd be so cool.
I mean,
that cool.
actually be a great costume.
I would love that.
I want to do Hellboy someday anyway, just because it'll be really
Furiosa
fun.
Is the on only other forever. One-armed person right? like, I can yeah. think of.
Right. Well, Hellboy yeah. is like, just one of those, like, he's loved. Like, he's flawed, but he's loved.
Yes.
Like, people really do have that
he's
room
a great
in their heart for him.
Character.
I did not see
and
that
he's such
new
a cool
one.
Character design.
Exactly.
Oh, I did. Don't do
don't
it.
Do
don't
it.
Do
I,
it.
I haven't seen the new one either.
I really wanted to like it because I like David Harbour and
yeah.
I like Hellboy. Like,
yeah.
I've read those comics for a long time and I wanted it to be good and, I'm just sorry, it's not at all.
Right.
Right. It's hard to like fight a Guillermo del Toro movie, I feel like, as your representative that everybody still has pretty fresh in their head that is almost an exact replica of the comics. So that one is a hard one to like top in my opinion.
Well, and like, I feel like Abe in that is kind of like, you know, rough draft
no
of the Shape
Abe
of
in the
Water.
New one.
Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He's
you know, and,
very,
yeah,
very
he
drawn
is.
From.
And
yeah.
he was figuring out how to do that like practical suit stuff even back then. Like they didn't CGI
yeah.
Hellboy, which is smart.
Right.
Yeah. And it looks incredible because of that. Like I think the monsters he fights, like those hellhound things are, but like the main people are all real.
Yeah. This is what we mean, is that like there's you lean in too much to the CGI and you get Cats, I think. But then you, when you
well,
find
it's also
the right balance,
like if imagine you're like the actress that's like the little girl in Pan's Labyrinth and walking on set and basically
right.
seeing the fawn versus like acting to a tennis ball. Like
right.
it's just not the same. Like
right.
I think that makes a huge difference with kids
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that
yeah,
falls
was,
on the
I mean,
director to like create the imagination for them when they're on set and you know.
Right.
But even if you're not a kid, like all of these examples, like if you're the girl who played Liz, you know, in Hellboy, you're going to be in the room with like Hellboy and Abe. But
right.
like, it would be so much weirder if you're like just, you know, these dudes in green suits or whatever.
I mean,
right.
I don't think
right,
any
right.
actor is going to tell you that they prefer green screen.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. I was just wondering that about like Lord of the Rings, for example, like because
mm-hmm.
that was Andy Serkis almost entirely in the suit. And, you know, you are acting to that person and you're interacting with them. And it's been so long since I acted, I probably won't be able to speak truth to this experience. But I think that something happens when you are visually stimulated. And I think that that's,
mm-hmm.
that's what we're talking about. The difference between looking at the real fawn right in front of you or looking at a man in a green suit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jake, you were saying like yesterday, like when you're an actor and you get your costume, like as soon as you put it on, it like feels different.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I'm yeah. a big proponent of like, I don't even consider it method acting, but if I have a costume, I'm going to wear it as frequently as I can during rehearsals. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's more of a theater statement because generally you don't get rehearsals in film.
Right. Right. But the costume brings so much to life. It's like, yeah, really
just mm-hmm. stand different. Your posture changes, like.
Yeah, like Lord of the Rings is an interesting example because like I know that like they had really crazy costumes, but like the guy who played Aragorn like did like method acting and camped out like overnight
right.
in his costume and everything to like get in it. And they're all I remember the costume department being like awesome, authentic dirt.
Yeah.
Like,
or whatever.
Great. He doesn't have to. Actually, Viggo, you're good. I mean, sorry, Aragorn, you're good.
Yeah, if you can just like fall off your horse a couple more times, it'll look better.
Yeah. We were gonna bring you in for a little damaging, but no, it's fine. It's fine. A little homemade mm-hmm. distress is on you. That's great.
That's my favorite part in making costumes, actually, mm-hmm. is like getting to distress it.
Yeah, I have some really funny tools for that now. Like I have these yes. these like FX sticks that are like named, like one of them is like sweat stain, one of them's like rust.
Oh,
like that, and they're basically fabric paints, but they're like, you know, identifiable by like moss, you know, grass stain, like, and it's fun. And they're almost always like there's different versions of it, obviously. There's like markers and paints, but the ones that I have are mm-hmm. all like sort of like deodorant sticks, like you kind of roll them up and you can kind of smudge
so cool.
them. They're smudge
sticks. Smart idea.
Yeah. It is cool.
Yeah, because like the last time I did like a big crazy project like this, it was my friend's birthday, and it was her 29th birthday, so it was death to her 20s, and everybody was zombies, and so we had a zombie costume making party basically at
Amazing.
My house because I have so much stuff
hell yeah
ready for this. And I had like buckets of dye out, and I'm like, okay, so this is like a dirt color, this is blood, this is like fresher
exactly.
looking blood, and you're gonna have to do it in layers so that it looks really good, and then like here's razors and knives and stuff so you could tear it up or just
right.
rub it on the concrete outside. Like, we're gonna mess these up real
exactly.
good.
Exactly. Sandpaper.
Everyone looks so good. It was so fun.
I learned how to do all that stuff. Lauren, I don't know if you remember this, but I was working on a Halloween theater piece, and I had to learn how to do some, like, you know, like latex peeling skin wound stuff. And I sent you this thing that was like a fake burn, and you thought I really like lost
burned
all the skin on my arm. And I was like, okay, well,
no
looks
context.
Good.
You just sent me a picture. Yeah, no context. I was like, what happened?
Is it? Oh, Jake.
This is kind of a funny Halloween story, but I remember because I had done that, Gigi, this is a show you acted in, but some people we went to school with right around when we graduated this show, Tallgrass Gothic, which had
oh, yeah.
the weird request of needing somebody to swallow a sword on stage, and then
oh,
the
yeah.
director wanted them to bleed out of their mouth, and I found this like collapsible sword that worked really good for this, but they wanted like really oozy, dark blood, which the way you make that was like chocolate sauce and corn syrup. And I remember I like stepped away to like go to the restroom or something. I come backstage and everybody is taking spoonfuls of the blood, just eating it.
Yeah. Whoops. Paige had a good time. I remember looking over at her when we like, you know, we had like a break, like a okay cut moment, and looking over at her with the chocolate sauce kind of in the corners of her mouth, and she's just smiling because she's on stage eating candy.
I would like load that up and she'd be like, I ate that one, I need another one. Like,
sorry, it was too delicious, it didn't can't hold it in my mouth for very long. Yeah,
that would be tough not to eat the candy.
It's true.
That's a weird thing, is trying to mix fake blood right.
Oh, it's so,
yeah. I was like, I've had some minor experiences with that. Now I buy the like actual fake blood that you can get at like the theater store, which is
yeah.
way better and
yeah.
like dries so that it doesn't like stick on things. Like it dries and it really still looks like wet blood, but it like doesn't stick on other things once
yeah.
it dries. It's absolutely incredible. Like,
well, like
especially on Halloween, because you like are usually out at, you know, parties or bars normally, and
mm-hmm.
you bump up against people, and this like makes it so that you're not getting your stuff all over them.
Yeah, it can be a mess. I remember trying to rig up like a squib in a suit
yeah.
for this was actually just for like acting class. This was going way too hard for what we were
classic.
Doing.
Classic
it didn't,
Jake. You were
yeah,
like,
this
I'm
is
not
always
just gonna
me.
Do the scene, I'm going to design the scene. I'm
yeah,
going
I was like,
to
there are gonna be special
it,
effects
yeah.
for this audience of 10 kids in the room. And
absolutely.
And I ruined this suit completely, this suit
dude,
jacket, because
dude,
it
it's so
it
crazy
burst
that you say that.
In
I
the
did,
wrong
I literally,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I just did this and I am so sad because I am a very, you know, I try really hard to be a very professional costume designer, but I just did this short film in November and I think I might have burned a bridge with a costume, with suit company, a tailory that I was like working with because the fake blood, this theater blood, really damaged one of the suits I borrowed.
And it's not the easiest thing to get out.
Yeah. It was so sad. Shout out the tailory. They're amazing. The Tailor NYC, if anyone needs any suit custom built by them, they're extremely queer friendly and suit sizes are adaptable. And I totally ruined one of their suits. And I am so sorry, Valerie. I will never forgive myself.
Hopefully somehow they hear this and the apology will be heard.
One day. The way I apologize to her over email, hopefully it's like she's heard enough, but you know.
We'll give her a shout out at least so she can get a pre-promotion and make up for it.
I do love that theater blood has come such a long way that it becomes more and more realistic. When you mishandle it, you can really like leave some stains.
I would imagine it is impossible to get out of like real clothes because like I ruined the clothes that I put it on intentionally.
Like a brand new suit.
It's even a little hard to scrub off your skin. Unless you really scrub.
I'm like remembering back what we did and we went way too hard with this because we were doing Double Indemnity and we tried to light the room to look like everything was black and white. So we actually like made the blood way darker than it needed to be. So it stained really bad.
Wow. Wow, Jake. This is like we were like 20-year-old college students, but the precociousness with which you were doing this scene.
Well, but this is my like what I love about that stuff is I want to do it. I was like, I love the costumes, I love the design. If I was gonna do a scene for class, I was like, well, this is a reason to make a British soldier uniform or a scientist outfit or whatever.
Well, that was the best part about Throughline when they finally were just like, you can have every chance you want to just design a story that you're going to, you know, direct and star in as the protagonist. And that was our first, our second year, we were given these projects where like for the entire semester, we were only working on one play and we were made to play the protagonist of each play. And each student, basically, almost every student had their own play. I think there was maybe a couple double ups, but every student had their own play that they were working on. And there was like, you know, this was my first chance to say to an actor, like, this is the costume I've chosen for you. And it was like, really, that was one of the starts of me, like, really knowing that was something I wanted to do.
Which show did you do for that?
I did The Clean House. And I was by Sarah Rule. And I was Machilji, which is the Brazilian housemaid. And the only identifier that Sarah Rule writes in is that she's wearing black because both of her parents have died. But I wore like black jeans and like a black peasant top that felt like kind of, you know, stylistically like South American. Like a peasant sort of like billowy blouse, but it was black and it was like very distinctly like I looked like I probably would have if I was just, you know, wearing day clothes and being a house cleaner in some rich white lady's house. But I had the entire look entirely in black and it was like really cool for me. But it was also just like my first experience like being the head of design of something. And I'm lucky enough now that in my 11 years since college, I have I think 23 costume designer credits in my bag. And I'm very glad to be here. And Jake is obviously, he has directed a couple of the projects I've been on and hopefully many more to come. I'm pretty excited about
Definitely. It. Definitely. Yeah. But do you have anything that you're working on right now that's coming up soon?
I am not. No, because of COVID.
I mean, I know it's
everything.
Like
COVID's kind of killing it all. I might have a project for you. We'll talk after this.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Jake, but whatever Jake's doing, I'm going to be on.
Perfect.
Exactly. The last thing I did was a short film called The Club. I don't have any coming release on it, but a good friend of ours, who you may know, Jake, Keenan Jolliffe, was the executive producer.
Know
you know Keenan?
Yeah, he was in Foolish Gents.
Yeah.
So
that's why you know.
Lauren created all of his fake band stuff.
Exactly. I'm like,
oh my god, that was the best.
Keenan Jolliffe was the executive producer of The Club, and he reached out to me basically because of my work on Gents. Like, he was like, hey, I know you actually have a lot of experience doing some of this kind of like fun, fantastical stuff. And I designed that in November, and that was really fun.
That's awesome.
And so hopefully it comes out soon. I know, you know. Life is crazy.
I love every time I see Keenan pop up in a project, but the funniest thing is like we cast him as the kind of bully bad guy, and I've only ever seen him get cast as different versions of that since then.
Exactly. He's the bad guy in this.
Yeah, Netflix.
And he is wonderfully not that. He is
no, he's the nicest like, person. And he's yeah. he's so generous and like he's, you know, so
he will
like,
literally show up for anybody as a I mean, he's an amazing actor and performer, but as a producer, I've hardly worked with someone who's just like, what do you need? Like
that's amazing.
Out the gate. And he's really fantastic. Yeah. So shout out Keenan as well.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jake, for introducing me to him.
Well, Gigi, thank you for joining us. This has been great.
Thanks for having
yes,
me.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah. This was really fun.
I
thank
have a
you
blast.
Especially for doing it twice.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, of course. I'll do it again. No, hopefully we don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
But anytime.
Next year we'll call you on Halloween.
Exactly.
There we go.
It'll be totally different.
We'll have some news stories.
Where can people find your work on the internet?
Well, if you guys want to see my costume design work, you can follow me on Instagram. It's at Gigi Does Costumes. Exactly how mm-hmm. you think it was. And that's G-I-G-I. But if as far as like, you know, me personally, I'm a total clown on the internet and I think I'm funny. But if you're interested in some of my NSFW content, just kidding, not actual sexual NSFW content, but you definitely like not my professional work, you can follow me on Twitter, Gigi Don't, like Gigi Do Not Apostrophe, you know, like whatever. It's Gigi Don't. I'm not doing a good job of selling my
we'll get
my
links
social
for you, don't
media.
Worry.
Yeah,
we'll make sure to write it out.
Yeah,
these folks will edit it down to make it make sense.
We'll make you look good, don't worry.
Thank you, guys. I needed it.
Or sound good.
Right, exactly. Awesome. Thank you, Rubens. I loved being the meat in your sandwich.
Yay. It was really great having you and getting to hang out for a while. I can't
sure.
wait to see you again sometime soon in the near future when things
yeah.
are not so crazy.
Right. Later, you guys.
All right, yeah, have a happy Halloween.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our first episode of The Reuben Sandwich. We had so much fun recording. I can't wait to do this again, honestly.
Yeah.
What did you think, Jake?
Oh, no, this is really fun. This is, you know, not enough corned beef for a Reuben, but, you know, it's a good... It was. I'm gonna stop with the dad
we'll get,
jokes.
We'll get a little
Thousand
Island.
That was my only
we'll
one.
On
that was my only one.
We're gonna have to make the joke. I mean... If we don't make it, somebody else will.
Yeah. No, it was. I haven't seen Gigi in a while either, so that was great getting to catch up with her.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in literally years, so I loved getting a chance to see her, and I hope that her arm heals quickly. I think we did mention it once, but her arm is broken, so hope for she has a quick recovery there.
Yeah, and I realize I don't know if we prefaced this at the beginning, but the series that we were talking about was filmed in 2013 and spent 3 years in post production. So it's been a while since we all worked on that together.
Yeah, but we'll make sure that you guys can still see it. It is online and it's a lot of fun. I totally recommend checking it out. I'm going to plug you for you, Jake. So you
yeah, there you
have
go.
You just go to foolishgents.com and you can check that out. I'll also have a link in the show notes. And if you want to check out our regular stuff, obviously we are part of the M of One network. You can check out M of One on Instagram, Twitter, Patreon. I'm forgetting stuff. We're on Slack, all over the place. You know, we're always growing and, we're always at M of One or Master of One. You can always find us there. And, I am under Not Cool Co. And Jake, where can people find you besides Foolish Gents?
Foolish Gents would be the main spot. I do actually have an actor website that this podcast is probably going to motivate me to update. But that's yeah. Jake Rubin, jakerubin.com. And it's meant to be
that's
like a Beetlejuice thing. So if you type it out twice, you can't forget it.
I love it. Say it one more time and then you'll summon you.
Exactly.
You know?
I've been meaning to get the email jakerubin@jakerubin.com. So it literally is a third time of typing.
Ooh. People really won't forget by that time.
Right.
Well, that is all we've got for you this week. I hope everyone has a very safe and happy Halloween, and we will see you next time.
Lauren and Jake's pop culture hot takes are hotter than the tropics, all the nerdiest topics. They're giving you nothing but the trusted truth. When Lauren says, hey, brother, like Buster Bluth, analyzing comics, film, animation, colossal castles, galactic federations, and you know Spider-Man will be swinging through with these exciting insights that they bring to you. And just when you think you're bored of these things, they delve in deep to the Lord of the Rings. So let's get you clued in so you'll be glued in and get you a bite of this delicious Reuben. Yes, let's get you clued in so you'll be glued in and get you a bite of this fresh Reuben.